2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code podcast to get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. With that sub, you get access to our domination station, which builds up to 150 lineups in just one click, 24/7 access to our Slack chat channel, and of course, VIP articles and tools for every single sport that you can imagine. Once again, promo code podcast on DFSArmy.com. My name is Al Walsh. How are you doing? You can find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall at Boomers DFS Daddy. Very exciting day for the Army today, Keith, as the VIP simulation model is up in full effect.
Oh, yeah. That's where a lot of my time has been spent this morning. it's been a work in progress, and it is ready to go. So that is always a good thing, and I am always excited about it. It's very good, and it's only going to make the domination station that much better. So
what now? It's an interesting note that we got here with the sim model. So what, it goes through 100 simulations,
thousand
simulations. My bad, I was just off by a couple hundred. But I don't know. What do you think the best aspect of this is? I mean, obviously, 100 simulations of one game, fantastic. But I don't know. What do you feel is the best thing that it brings out?
Probably the accuracy. It's really kind of nice. And I don't have. It's really kind of nice to be able to, be able to go through and have a bunch of like different outcomes as far as what these are going through. So, I don't know how to explain it. Like it allows you to look at what a guy's ceiling is and what a guy's floor is, what the midpoint is. It brings a lot more accuracy to the sim or to the DS. It's just it's something that, is kind of unique and isn't done around the industry. So
very cool. All right, well, we do have a lot of games to get to today, so let's just dive right into this here. Now, it's interesting to note that on the FanDuel main slate today, we've got the Atlanta Hawks at the Detroit Pistons, not on that slate for whatever reason. The main slate will be starting at 7:30 Eastern time. But for our DraftKings compadres here, let's just go over this game real quick. Interesting to note that the Hawks are 4-3 straight up and against the spread versus the Pistons in their last seven meetings. And the last six Atlanta-Detroit games have gone over the total. Again, in this one, I figure that the top plays for Atlanta, obviously Dennis Schroeder and his 30.2 usage rate this season are a fantastic way to go. And then Atlanta has been quite generous to opposing centers this season, so it would appear that Andre Drummond is a fantastic play in this one.
Yeah, he's. We were talking about it a little bit before the game, or before we press record. He's been kind of nice this year, hitting around 68% of his free throws, and being able to be in the game, when it actually matters still. So it's kind of nice to be able to go out there and be able to pop it. So
very cool. All right. Again, any other interest from this game that I did not mention?
I think for tournaments, pairing him up and Reggie Jackson up is a pretty good correlation play. So.
All right. Sounds good. All right. That one locked and loaded quick. Anybody wants to know any more about that, definitely hit us up in the Slack chat channel. So you can do that. All right, let's get to the games that matter here. Charlotte Hornets at the Boston Celtics. Celtics, 3-point favorites in this one, very shockingly. Over-under here at 205.5. Boston, 6-1 straight up and against the spread versus Charlotte in their last seven meetings. Five of the last seven Celtics-Hornets games have gone under the total. And for the Celtics, very good start to the season. They are covering the spread in NBA best 83.3% of their games this season. Looking at the Hornets for tonight, they have had two full days off. Now, this is going to be a common theme. A lot of teams had two or more full days off coming into tonight's games. But the Hornets certainly fall under that category. Nick Batum, Trevian Graham, Julian Stone all out for the Hornets. For the Celtics tonight, Al Horford still out with the concussion, and then Jason Tatum going to be a game time decision tonight with the ankle injury. I guess, you know, obviously you start out with the favorites here with the Celtics. Kyrie Irving has exceeded or reached salary based expectations at his current price in six of the last eight games. And as I told you, you know, just doing a little bit of research before the podcast started, a little bit of narrative here going up against Michael K. Gilchrist, who will be back for the Hornets tonight. He's actually high school teammates with them. Obviously, that doesn't factor in too much to my decision making tonight, but something interesting nonetheless.
Very interesting. Yeah. I actually kind of like it. So.
They were going to get a lot of questions here about Aaron Baines, Daniel Theis. I believe that's how you say it. Both guys were a great source of value in that last game against the Lakers, but hey, Dwight Howard's changing the down low culture there in Charlotte.
Yeah, my main target is the semi after if Jason Tatum's out. I think that he's a great source of value today. He's got some upside. He's going to play around 25 minutes or so. So that's kind of where I'm looking. You know, I'm not going to go back to Aaron Baines or anything like that. I just don't like playing him. But, you know, there's a lot of different options in the ability to attack with the Boston Celtics today. So.
Indeed. A couple GPP darts that might interest the folks. You know, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown. You know, both, you know, it's interesting because you look at the DVP charts and the Hornets have actually been very, very generous to that two and the three position this season. But MKG coming back certainly is going to improve upon that. You know, again, I'm not that interested in it. Marcus Morris, I mean, he could see a couple more minutes today. Any interest there?
Maybe. I would rather play him if, like I said, Jason Tatum's out. For my interest in this game really does rely a lot on Jason Tatum. If he's out, then I've got a lot more interest in other guys than I do if he's in. So this is almost like a stay away for me.
Fair enough. To the Hornets side of things, I actually really like Kemba Walker tonight. You know, again, he's much better at home, and early on, this isn't the greatest matchup as we've seen. I mean, Kyrie Irving, at last glance, I believe it was a day or two ago, he was listed as the sixth best defender in the NBA according to a whole bunch of different peripherals. Look, that's great and all. I think that, you know, he's certainly motivated to do well with his new team and be the leader. But again, we got to remember who Kyrie Irving is. He really was not, you know, the anybody that we claimed to be a good defender at any point. Just watching a lot of Hornets game this season, I like the way that Kemba's popping off. I mean, this is going to be an interesting matchup tonight where you got two guys with just absolutely ridiculous handles going back and forth at each other. So I like that aspect of it. Now, I do think, you know, there's certainly the possibility that this game hits the under in the total. I mean, again, we've seen it a lot with Celtics games this season where the defense has certainly been there. But, look, it's more of just a visual thing to me with Kemba. I know that the numbers aren't going to be there to back it up, but it's just something I've seen watching Kemba Walker and this Hornets team this year that get me pretty excited about his prospectus tonight.
I think that Brad Stevens has actually got Kyrie to play a little bit of defense. Wings just aren't doing well against the Boston Celtics. It's just kind of one of those things that, you know, is happening. So I'm not too I don't know if I'm going to go there.
Okay.
So.
Again, not for the faint of heart. Certainly a GPP play. Speaking of popping off the screen, Dwight Howard, he's had his career rejuvenated, it almost seems like. He's just been going back to that absolutely dominant form. He's had at least 9 rebounds in all but 2 games this season. He's scored double digits in all but 2 games this season. You know, we've been able to attack the Celtics down low. I know things are a little different now with Aaron Baines there in the middle, but I'm not, you know, Baines is a good defender, but I'm not scared to use Dwight Howard against the guy.
I can see that. He's just, he kind of fits with this team, and I really like that. So, like I said, I'm not shy about using Dwight Howard. I don't like a lot in this game. I want to attack other games more than I want to attack this game. I could see some, you know, if Tatum's out, like I said, I could see some value coming from this game. But overall, for the most part, I don't really know how much I'm going to be putting into this game.
Yep. So. Yeah, again, Celtics 3-point favorites. I feel like that's very telling, especially at home. I know that they have a couple injuries to, you know, to take into account too. But I don't know. We've seen the Celtics as pretty massive favorites in every game this season, besides the opener in Cleveland. So to see them as only a 3-point favorite, I think that's telling us a little bit too much. And
they will lose again.
I'm
going to make that prediction. They will lose again.
They have lost and they will lose again. That is correct.
They are not going to go 79-3.
No. And, you know, again, too, I mentioned that number with the Celtics covering 83.3% of their games this season. Again, those things will even out over the course of the season. I think it's tonight. So, and again, the line has actually moved down to 2.5 since I've been talking. So sounds even better. All right. Let's get to the next one. Indiana Pacers 4-point favorites tonight against the Chicago Bulls. That line, too, has dropped down. They are now only 2.5-point favorites. We've got a total that started out at 206.5. That also has dropped down to 204 currently. Chicago 5-3 straight up against the Pacers in their last 8 meetings, only covering 3 of those, however. For Indiana, this is their third game in 4 days. Did have a day off yesterday, but nonetheless, that is the situation. In terms of injuries, Domantas Sabonis going to be questionable with that calf injury. For the Bulls, they had 2 full days off before tonight's game. That probably helped out Robin Lopez, Lauri Markkanen. Both guys are probable with their individual ailments. However, David Nwaba, Nikola Mirotic, Zach LaVine all out for this game. All right, I'm going to start with the Bulls in this game. Lauri Markkanen, Robin Lopez, Bobby Portis. These are the guys that you probably want to attack the Pacers with. Indiana allowing the 2nd most fantasy points per game to the center position, allowing the 3rd most fantasy points per game to the power forward position. Look, that's been the way to go. I understand that the numbers are somewhat skewed because, you know, they just did face DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, who both went bananas against them. Nonetheless, they weren't doing great before that.
Even though Miles Turner was out, he's not that great of a defender, so right. Those numbers aren't that skewed as far as the actual adjusted DVP numbers that you'll start to see that we'll have in now. But I'm just looking here, pulling it up. Against Indiana, adjusted DVP number. Anything – okay, so one's a neutral matchup in that you'll see. Anything above a 1 – is a positive matchup for the player. Anything below a 1 is a negative matchup for the player. The Indiana Pacers have a 1.089 DVP allowed to centers. So, yeah, it's just not something I really want to attack. So I'm probably not going to Or sorry, it is something that I want to attack, so I'm probably going to with Biggs tonight. That's a pretty good matchup, so.
Yeah, you do wonder, how healthy these guys in the Bulls are. It is a good sign that they're listed as probable, but Bobby Portis is pretty interesting because that first game he comes back, I don't think anybody was really expecting much from him in that first game back, but he absolutely went off. So his price tag tonight, 6,100 on DK, 5,000 there on FanDuel. Kind of interesting if you think that, maybe Markkanen and Lopez get held back a little bit.
I don't, if one of those two is out, then I think you can go to Bobby Portis. Otherwise, I don't think I'm going to.
Fair enough, fair enough. In terms of, again, I always like my boy Justin Holiday. Certainly not a safe play, but again, a guy that could pop off. Chris Dunn, we mentioned him plenty of times. He's always capable of big game. Hopefully he can learn how to keep those turnovers down. That would be fantastic.
Yeah,
But
that's the reason why he hasn't been really going off is he's just creating so many turnovers, and that's not a recipe for success.
nah, brah. Let's talk about the Pacers, Miles Turner. Hey, look, we've been attacking Chicago down low all season. No need to stop now. Turner, 7,100 on DK, 79 on FanDuel, not bad. And then, of course, point guards have actually had the second most area of success against the Bulls this season. That could mean Darren Collison gets in the groove of things. Only 5,700 on FanDuel. That's not a bad spot at all.
I don't know. It's this is a weird slate for me.
Aren't they all?
For the most part. I thought I had a pretty good handle on last night's slate though too. So it's just one of those things that, maybe the fact that it's a weird slate, and it's a Friday will allow us to get a little weird and do really well.
Well, yeah, I mean, getting weird on a Friday is the norm around here, so don't you worry. All right, any Oladipo, Thad Young, Sabonis, Bogdanovich, any love from these fellas?
I don't mind going to Boggy or Bogey. Boggy.
Bogey, Boggy. Bueller.
Victor Oladipo is pretty expensive, but he's running most of the point guard duties. Oh, there's got to be a way to attack this game. I mean, Miles Turner's 7,900. He had a bad game the other night, mainly because he got into foul trouble, and Al Jefferson decided to have the game of his freaking of the year. So I guess that's an option as well.
All right, fair, fair. All right, let's move on to the next game here. We have got the Milwaukee Bucks at San Antonio Spurs. Spurs 5-point favorites in this one with a total of 205. Spurs 3-1 against the Bucks in their last four meetings, covering two of those games. For Milwaukee, they've had two full days off before tonight's game. This is also the front end of a back-to-back for them. They'll play the Lakers tomorrow night. Injury-wise, Mirza Teletovic going to be out with that knee injury tonight. And for the Spurs, they have had two full days off before tonight's game as well. Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker, Joffrey Laverne, Derek White, all out with their individual ailments. All right, so the big news, we've already talked about it a lot in Slack today, but Eric Bledsoe, this is going to be his first game as a Milwaukee Buck. He will be in the starting lineup, which actually bumps Malcolm Brogdon back to the bench. What? I'm not a fan of Bledsoe tonight. Couple other people aren't a fan of Bledsoe tonight, but you just got just as many people who are a fan of Bledsoe tonight. What's the right side to be on here?
The neutral side, I'm playing Switzerland on this one.
Well, way to put your balls on the table. All right.
Well, I mean, look, come on. For cash games, obviously you're not going to do it. But for, tournaments, if you think that he could go off, it's definitely a possibility. The problem is now, with Bledsoe in the mix, what does that do to Giannis, Chris Middleton, I mean, you would think that it opens up the floor a little bit to where they have to pay attention to another guy. It's going to, you know, it's going to help them out all out as far as hopefully being efficient. But, I mean, you got to think, you know, Bledsoe can play on and off the ball, so it's going to take the ball out of Giannis's hands every once in a while. You know, it hurts Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, you're not going to see the same production from all these guys. If you think that you can blindly just plug in Giannis and get the same production that you have been getting, then, you know, I think you're grossly mistaken. But, you know, if you think that you can plug in Bledsoe and he's going to automatically go for, you know, I don't even, what is his price?
63 on FanDuel, and on DraftKings, he is 6,000.
I mean, look, it is San Antonio.
Yeah.
And you can it's an enticing matchup. It is. But I just don't know if I can do it. I think there's so many different ways that you can attack point guard today. I don't think I don't want to worry about whether or not Bledsoe's going to play 24 minutes or not.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because, again, a sneaky move has been to attack San Antonio with shooting guards. And, me and you talked about this a little bit. And the thing that I saw from going back in a lot of these Spurs games was that Danny Green is just, like, absolutely terrible getting through picks. And, you know, people are able to do it. And then on the second unit, you know, you've had guys like Jeremy Lamb, Austin Rivers, guys like that just go absolutely nuts on guys like Manu Ginobili and Bryn Forbes. So you can still have some success. And I like now it's become a little more clear now that Bledsoe will be in the starting lineup and Brogdon moves back to the bench. I still think Middleton is viable in this matchup, but
I like that play.
Yeah. Again, I'm not thrilled about Giannis. I'm not thrilled about Bledsoe because how's that whole dynamic going to work? Again, it's going to
take them time, just like we've seen with all of these teams that stack it up. You know, it's going to take them time for these new guys to get used to each other. And, I mean, the prime example right now is Oklahoma City. I mean, it's going to take these guys time. It's going to take the Milwaukee Bucks time to integrate Eric Bledsoe in through everything and make sure that it's good to go. So,
indeed. All right, so we are in agreement of Middleton being nice tonight, but going to be tough to do on FanDuel at 7,500, but DK, much more affordable at 6,700 over there. Let's talk about the Spurs here. Now, the big hashtag for the Milwaukee Bucks, fear the deer, right? And I think that there are a lot of spots that you can – quote unquote, fear the deer, but down low is certainly not one of them. So this is a very good spot for LaMarcus Aldridge, possibly even Pau Gasol, who you mentioned pre-show. You were pretty surprised about how many minutes he's been playing.
Yeah, I really kind of am. You know what they do in Texas? They don't fear the deer. They kill them.
Whoa, nice.
I don't think they're going to fear the deer. I like Powell. He's going to be low-owned. I like LMA. I don't know how low-owned he's going to be. He could probably possibly see some Giannis defense, you know, stepping out to the perimeter. Danny Green's been playing really well. I don't mind attacking. It's probably, if you had me rank them, it's probably Powell, LMA, Danny Green in that order. But that's probably it.
All right. I do like LMA more than Powell, but again, tomato, tomato, right?
Well, the only reason is because Powell's only, you know, well, he's 6,300 now, but, you know, Powell's going to be low-owned. He's playing the minutes. And barring Pop getting or Pop pulling a Pop, then he's probably got a decent chance of getting you 30, 35 points tonight in a pretty good matchup. So,
yes, indeed. I've heard a couple of people have asked too. Just want to bring this up about Malcolm Brogdon going to the bench. There at the second unit, does that mean more usage for him, more shot attempts, whatever? I guess it does, but I'm not willing to do that on FanDuel at 6,300, DraftKings 5,500 maybe, but I kind of feel like that's even a stretch as well.
Yeah, because you got to think about it. I mean, just because Brogdon comes off the bench doesn't mean he's playing with the full second unit all the time. I mean, Giannis is still going to be in there. Because Giannis plays 38 minutes, barring foul trouble. Chris Middleton's still going to be in there every once in a while because he plays 35 minutes, barring foul trouble. I mean, it's just, you know. It's a lot of unknown. I think that you're going to see a lot more production when those three are on the court together than with Bledsoe on the court with the other two. But, you know, it's more of a DraftKings GPP play for me.
Sure, and don't forget too, the Bucks. They've switched up their rotation here a bit, where you know Giannis will play the first 6 minutes, hit the bench, come back in the second quarter. Well, they switched that up lately, where Middleton's actually been the guy to come out on that first rotation, and Giannis will play the whole first quarter. You assume with a Jason Kidd coach team, you're in trouble. That's your first mistake. So again, we shall see how this all goes. I envision seeing like two of those guys on the court at the same time with the second unit. So
yeah,
in terms of like Brogdon and probably, you know, Middleton together, and then we see Greek and Bledsoe together, something like that. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. We will find out tonight. Another interesting game, which I know a lot of people are going to have a lot of appeal with here. Orlando Magic, 3.5-point favorites against the Phoenix Suns tonight in Phoenix. Suns are 3-1 straight up against the Magic in their last four meetings, covering two of those games. Three of the last four Magic-Suns games have gone under the total. For Orlando, this is a front end of a back-to-back. They are at Denver tomorrow night. DJ Augustine and Adrian Payne both out for the Magic. Meanwhile, for the Suns, this is also a front end of a back-to-back for them. They are at home against Minnesota, and this is also their fourth game in 6 days. We've got some injury news already for the Suns. Tyson Chandler has been ruled out. Greg Monroe is still out with a calf injury, and then Alan Williams has been out for what seems like forever.
I think he's going to be out until at least after Christmas.
Okay. Let's get him a new knee under the tree, eh?
Yeah, he tore his meniscus, so.
Let's talk about the Magic here, because I know, again, a lot of people have interest here, but, again, this is a very intriguing line here where the Magic only favored by 3.5. Phoenix, you know, certainly they're a team that could be gotten on fantasy points. My whole thing, what I'm going to say here is don't fade the Magic. I'm saying I think even some Suns are viable in this game, and we could end up seeing a very good game here tonight.
Absolutely. Like, I love both sides of this game. I think Elf is, you know,
sure,
a definite possibility. The question is, you know, let me look here. Came back from injury, played 29 minutes, had 44.5 FanDuel points. He's 8,100. He's not cheap. He's going up against Phoenix. He's priced up, which is a good thing. I like Mike James in this matchup as well. Evan Fournier, I think, is a good option as well. He had a good last game. Now, granted, guys, this was against the Knicks, but it's not like the Phoenix Suns are much better.
Oh, no, they're worse.
I mean, the one guy I would probably stay away from tonight is Aaron Gordon. Just because Marquese Chris is as long as he's not, you know, fouling like everybody all the time, then he's pretty viable as far as a capable defender. Nikola Vucevic, obviously, with Tyson Chandler out, going up against Alex Len. Now, here's the issue with this, okay? I went back and watched this game, and we'll talk about the guy here in a second, because I know we've both got Alex Len is what you would call he's been under the quote unquote tutelage of Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler is a former defensive player of the year. Okay. Tyson Chandler is a big physical body in the middle that clogs up the paint and is very, very capable of defending a lot of the big, the true traditional big men in the league. He's not great at going and defending in the perimeter, so this actually plays a little bit more into Alex Len's skill set. If Vooch tries to bang with Alex Len down low, then we could see another game from Alex Len where he commits three fouls in the first, five in the by the time the fourth quarter starts, and we get another, 15 points out of Alex Len. However,
However,
Nikola Vucevic has the ability to step out on the perimeter and drain threes. If he mixes it up, going inside and outside to where Alex Len can't get comfortable in one spot or the other, Vooch could have a phenomenal game. And I love pairing him up with Elfrid Payton to get a little bit of correlation with that. So.
all right, here, yeah, again, I have tons of appeal here with Vucevic. Now, here, there's two things here. One, his last four games against the Suns, he's done fantastic, including last season. He had no, I'm going to round up here, but he had no fewer than 45 fantasy points on either site against the Suns. So there's that. The year before, it was no fewer than 36 fantasy points on either site. Didn't have as many, about the same amount of minutes, but all in all, double doubles in the last four meetings against the Suns. Here's my thing, right? If he's going against Alex Len, we know that Chandler's out tonight. You think, like, just thinking about it, like putting yourself in Alex Len's shoes after being in so much foul trouble the game before, after being, just kind of. Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't give a shit about fantasy, but again, that's a big thing. Like, he hardly played last game. I could see a situation where Len is like very hands off this game, where he might just let Vooch do whatever he wants to do.
I don't. I know where you're going. I like the idea. I don't know if that changes it a lot. Just because we've seen this with Alex Len, he's a very
A constant dummy?
yeah. He's like
Consistently a dummy.
a poor man's Nikola Jokic.
Ah,
He just
man.
fouls for stupid reasons and nobody understands why. He just all of a sudden just, oh, I haven't committed a foul in 5 minutes. Punk. And whether he gets called for it or not, that depends on the refs.
You know what's interesting about that, though? It's like, especially a team like the Suns, where you kind of have an even timeshare of Tyson Chandler, Alex Len. I know for a fact that teams in the past, like coaches, have said to their guys, "Hey, you can be you could afford to be a little more physical because we have a couple guys here on the bench that are capable of, swallowing up some minutes, so it's not a big deal." So his brain might just be trained that way. But again, with now the situation with the Suns, where it's like, oh shit, like we kind of need Len out there tonight against Vucevic because
Well, no,
of what
because they
I get, like
can.
Dragan Bender's the only other guy.
No, I mean they could put Jared Dudley at the four and run Marquese Chriss at the five. That's what they did. I mean, they did it for a little bit. Now Marquese Chriss had a pretty decent game against Miami, but I promise you, Phoenix, Alex Len and Hassan, and we mentioned this on the pod that day, but Alex Len and Hassan Whiteside have a history. And that Alex Len's foot, and it worked for 3.5 quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, when Alex Len was out, Hassan Whiteside decided he was going to play ball and racked up like 20 fantasy points in like a 30-second time span. That's an exaggeration, but you know what I'm getting at.
I pick up what you're putting down.
Good, because not many people do anymore. It's just kind of one of those things. Like you want the ability to get Alex Len into the groove, and I think this is where they kind of go back and they try to do that, because Vooch plays outside and inside both more than Hassan Whiteside did. Hassan Whiteside might start with the pick and roll, but his main game is going to be inside, guarding the paint, blocking shots, doing everything that he possibly can. So
sure.
I like both centers in this game, and I will have both centers in this game.
Okay. In terms of Len's matchup with Vucevic, Orlando is slightly better than league average in terms of allowing fantasy points to the center position. Not a big deal. Speaking of straight on down the middle, TJ Warren, right? So we know this guy has a ceiling so far this season, a 61 on DK, 58 on FanDuel. He's also got a floor of 14.5 on DK, about 14 on FanDuel. So even furthering compounding the problems is that Orlando is smack dead league average against small forwards this season. As I put in my notes today, hopefully you're good at coin flips if you're playing TJ Warren today, because that's exactly what it is. It's tough though, right? Now, does he draw the Fournier matchup? Because you kind of got to look at Warren and Booker here. Whoever does, and look, Fournier has been very good on defense this season. So who gets the Fournier matchup? And whoever doesn't out of that matchup, I'd rather play Booker or Warren.
It's that's the question of the hour, is it not?
I would agree. That's why I recommended it to the party.
I honestly really don't know what to think about it. Because Booker's right on that line of whether or not I want to play him.
Right.
You know, as far as salary is concerned, he's 7,500. I know Fournier is a decent defender. I'd probably be leaning more a little bit towards TJ Warren. Getting him and Terrence Ross, getting Booker.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Magic, they have the capability to get Phoenix to switch to where they get the matchup that they want. So I don't think that you have to shy away from either one of them.
Okay. That will be a game that I will go back to as soon as the podcast is over, and we'll go back to the tape. Obviously, DFS Army VIP members get that exclusive right. All right, anything else from this game? Any Fournier interests? I know he had a good game back with Elfrid Payton coming back for the first time, but five steals certainly elevated his final tally.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's part of his game. You know, he's going to get you. He's active defensively. Yeah, it elevated, you know, at the total, but I mean, the guy's still capable of putting up 20-plus points, grabbing some rebounds, getting some assists, and, you know, if he gets you a steal or anything, then, you know,
yeah.
Frenchie's good to go.
As I mentioned in my notes, you know, he did that against the Knicks, but it's not like the Suns are exactly the greatest keepers of balls either. Hey, now. Okay.
Hey-o.
Hello. All right. Let's move it on to the next game. Certainly not as appealing as the one we just talked about, but it is the Miami Heat at the Utah Jazz. Jazz 4-point favorites here. Jazz also, I'm sorry, 194 total in that game as well. Jazz 3-1 against the spread versus Miami, but the two teams have split the last four meetings. For Miami, they are on this brutal West Coast road trip. It is their fifth game in 8 days. Tyler Johnson had an illness, but he's still probable for the game. Roddy Magruder still out with the leg injury. Utah had two full days off before tonight's game, and only injury they have, Joe Johnson, going to be out with the wrist injury. So, of course, center stage, pun intended. Hassan Whiteside going up against Rudy Gobert in this one. If this were a boxing match, who do you got?
I would have to go Hassan Whiteside on this one.
Okay.
For boxing. I don't really like either one of them as far as a DFS play tonight, though.
Okay. I mean, we have seen Rudy Gobert do better in pace down matchups.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. Center is appealing today. Especially if we get a situation that I'll talk about here in a moment.
All right.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, like, you've got Nurkic, who's cheaper than both of these guys. You got Vooch, who's cheaper than both of these guys. Miles Turner, Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan, Powell. I don't think I need to pay up all the way like that today.
Fair enough.
The upside's definitely there, but, you know, the odds are very, it's not in the cards for me today.
All right. One guy that I did want to mention, and we saw a similar type of player do well in this matchup earlier this week against the Jazz, but James Johnson has been playing really well lately. Fortunately, the price tag has shown that. 63 on DK, 64 on FanDuel. He's averaging 32.6 DraftKings points, 30.3 FanDuel points per game this season. And, you know, he's a guy that can play out in both the perimeter and down low. If he's going to get some Derek Favors, I'm down with that. We saw Derek Favors really struggle against Saric on the perimeter earlier this week. So is this a spot that you can take advantage of? Price tag be damned.
I think it is.
Hey, I asked the tough questions here, man.
I know. No, I'm staying away. Like, I have interest in the guards and the wings from this game. I don't have interest in the big men down low.
All right. Well, yeah, talk about some of the guards and the wings.
Donovan Mitchell against Deion Waiters, I just think is a really good matchup. Donovan Mitchell is going to play anywhere between 27 to 32 minutes. I like Deion Waiters as well, coming off of a bad game. We had the baby narrative. He still played 26 minutes. You could go a very, very, very combination low-owned ping pong of Ricky Rubio, Goran Dragic. I think they're both in good spots. And then you have to look to Joe Ingles. He's a guy who can step out more so on DraftKings, where you get the three-point bonus.
Mm-hmm.
But he can step out and get the three. And it's not like he's got it's a tougher matchup against Justice Winslow, but it's not like it's a bad matchup to where I think you should have to shy away. Yep. So. And even on the opposite side, you got Justice Winslow, who's going to be active all over the place. He's going to play over 30 minutes. He's under 5,000 on FanDuel. I really like some Justice Winslow tonight.
All right. Don't mind the dookie. All right. Only a couple games left here, but I believe only two. Yeah, only two games left. Good pace to today's action. Let's talk about your boys as the LA Clippers just come to town and take on the Thunder. Thunder, 5.5-point favorites in this game, total at 210.5, which has actually dropped down here to 208. OKC is 5-3 against the Clippers in their last eight meetings, 4-4 against the spread. OKC, however, is only hitting the over in an NBA worst 20% of their games this season. Two full nights off here for the Clippers coming into tonight's game. However, it's just been, before we hit the record button on this shindig, Austin Rivers has said that he will play about 20 minutes after his father said, we'll see, he's 50-50. Patrick Beverley, Danilo Gallinari, Milos Teodosic, all out with their individual ailments for OKC. No injuries, nothing happened in that game last night, right? Where injury-wise?
Steven Adams.
He got hurt?
Yeah, he left the game with a calf injury in the fourth quarter.
Did not know that.
That's one of the things that I was.
All right. Well, I just also to mention here with OKC, it's also the back end of a back-to-back for them. They were at Denver last night, as Keith mentioned. This is also their third game in four nights and their fourth game in six nights tonight. All right, so yeah, let's talk about that Steven Adams injury. I mean, obviously we got to get to somebody else, but what do you think happens with Adams here?
It's going to take an act of God in Congress to keep Adams from even trying to play. If he doesn't play, I think you're going to see a lot more Jeremy Grant. He ended up only playing 20 minutes last night, but that was due to foul trouble. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a lot more Carmelo at the five, and you're going to see some Patrick Patterson in there as well. Patterson played a pivotal role in the third quarter when they were kind of down. It's still going to be a tight rotation. The guy I really, really, really would love to see, and I'm going to have to look to see if he's even active. I would love to see if Dakari Johnson on the court. Big man.
That was the guy during the preseason. Who's that guy?
Yeah. If he gets run, if he's active, I'm going to have to look deeper into it, but if he's active, I could definitely see throwing out a shot lineup with Dakari Johnson at center. So, I don't normally do dart throws, but this guy's got so much talent, that it's just kind of one of those things. Like, I know it's DeAndre Jordan, but we've seen centers go off against the Clippers before. So,
I think that also means great things for DeAndre Jordan too. I mean, if there's no Steven Adams or any body that's that big capable of banging with Jordan down low, I really don't see how he can't have a phenomenal game tonight.
Yeah. And DeAndre Jordan usually has typically pretty good games, even against Steven Adams. You know, it's just kind of, I don't know why. Steven Adams has a couple of these guys that just kind of, you know, are like his, you know, Achilles heel. But, you know, other than that, from what I can tell, DeAndre's one of them. One guy I will probably have a lot of, and I'll have to look and see exactly how he does in Oklahoma City. Blake Griffin is coming home. So
against in what should be a matchup against Melo, who had the original song about him, that when Melo first came to the Knicks, that was like the only song that you heard forever. So anyway, all right, let's talk about your boy Westbrook. It's been incredibly frustrating to roster in this season. After shooting 50% or better from the field in four of the first five games, he's failed to hit 50% from the field in each of his last six games. I know he's got definitely a supporting cast that he's got to get used to, but I mean, he did take 22 shots last night, and I believe only six went in. I don't know. I mean, when is this going to get fixed for OKC?
Yeah, Russ also got almost decapitated. He had a bloody lip. He was just getting banged around, like, you know, okay, we're going to keep this PG.
I knew where you were going with that one.
I mean, this is...
The people are angry, Keith. They got their pitchforks and torches out.
Yeah, and you're... the matchup that, you know, Russ always gets up for matchups against Patrick Beverley. There is a history there, and there's a reason why. But Patrick Beverley's out. You're going to get the combination of – and okay, so here's something that's funny. If Austin Rivers is out, even though he said he's going to play, I understand this, okay? Well, we can even go to Austin Rivers. If Austin Rivers plays, okay, he's probably going to play the one. Lou Williams is probably going to play the two. You've got Sindarius Thornwell, who's going to play. You've got Danilo Gallinari, who's out. That means Wesley Johnson, Sam Decker, they're going to be playing. Like, this is a banged-up Celtics team, or Clippers team, sorry.
One coast.
Like, if you just go through the OK3 and you look and say, who's got the better matchups? It's Russell Westbrook and Paul George. And it's just, it has nothing to do with, you know, did, not saying that Blake Griffin's a good defender or anything like that, but that's who it is. Russell's problem last night was his shot just wasn't falling. So Melo was hot, so he kind of just deferred to Melo and let it go.
By the way, the Denver fans still can't let it go.
Nope, sure can't.
Still can't let it go.
I don't think you see a lot of ownership on Russell Westbrook. I'll probably have a couple shares of Russ, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things like here in Oklahoma, we're close enough to the show me state that you got to show me. Well, you don't have to show me. I know what you're capable of, but you need to show it quick because, you know, not that I'm doubting that he can't do it, but I'm starting to lose the ability to defend him.
Yeah, and it's crazy too, right? Because look, before the season even started, it was a situation where it's like, oh, you know, he's not going to have the same type of numbers with everybody, you know, on board now in OKC. But it's that price tag that keeps luring you back in, right? Because you're like, oh, we got Westbrook at 10 something. Like, oh, 10 something is like is glorious.
His price went up.
For what the for what this guy's capabilities are, but you know the price is a little less slightly less attractive tonight. But again, 10 anything for a guy that can potentially put up 60, 70 points will always be appealing on any day of the week. But again, you know you gotta, as you just said, gotta show me something because it's getting very tough to defend him, and you know, quite frankly, it's a lot of people that have done it. So again, you know, James Harden went through the same thing at the beginning of the season. I'm sure everything will be fine. It's just, again, this is going to take some getting used to for everybody involved here, because again, you had three of the top 10 usage players in the NBA from last season, all on the same court, sharing the same ball now. So of course it's going to take some getting used to. And again, we mentioned it the last time OKC played yesterday, that hell, even that Miami team, when they first started, LeBron, D Wade, Chris Bosh, they started out 9-8 together before they finally got their act together. So again, you know, we're only what, 2-3 weeks into the NBA season, which is amazing. It feels like
we're 11 games in.
You know how like baseball, we're used like, damn, like it's already August already. Like, it feels like we've gone through like 3 months of the NBA season already, yet, you know, we're only like 3 weeks into it. But I guess that's a good thing because I like playing NBA DFS, so I'm not worried. You mentioned Jeremy Grant earlier. I don't know how you don't play him on DraftKings. 3,500, all he has to do is like step on the court and boom, he's hit value. 4,500, a little more of a thought process on FanDuel, but not really much of a thought on DraftKings. I don't know how he just doesn't hit value. I mean, I'm going through Jeremy Grant's game log at the beginning of the season. Like, he was hitting value with those numbers on DraftKings. Now he's on, you know, now he's at this price still, you know, and he's up in like the 20s, you know, mid to upper 20s in fantasy points. I don't know how you just don't play him tonight, especially after he played under 20 minutes last night. Going to get a heavy workload tonight, so I'm on board with that.
Yep.
I got nothing else. Andre Roberson, by the way, 3,100 on DK.
No.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. From your team to my team, Brooklyn Nets at the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. Blazers are 8.5 point favorites here. A total of 223.5 has since dropped to 220. Interesting notes here for this game. Portland has won 4 straight against the Nets. Big shocker. They've covered 3 of those 4 games. The last 4 Nets Blazers games have gone over the total. Brooklyn is also 6-17 against the spread in their last 23 games that fell on a Friday. For the Nets, they've had 2 full days off before tonight's game. This is a front end of the back-to-back for them. Tomorrow they go to oh-so-glorious Utah. And for the Blazers, this is just a regular game for them. Nothing wonderful. Injury news, Al-Farouq Aminu is still going to be out for these guys as well. I also forgot to mention for the Nets, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, questionable with a hip injury. Trevor Booker, questionable. Jared Allen, out for tonight's game. All right, we're going to get probably a ton of exposure from a lot of people, the Blazers. It all starts with Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, the dynamic duo at home, typically where you want to play these guys at. Brooklyn's allowing the most fantasy points overall. So again, the two guys, you know, running the point here, Lillard with the first unit, McCollum on the second unit, definitely good options to have tonight. And then Jusuf Nurkić, very highly ranked tonight, especially over there on DraftKings, where he's only $6,800. That's too much of an opportunity to pass up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Jusuf Nurkić has got the capability to go for 50. DraftKings underprices the center, so sure, go right on ahead. It's like, I don't know how they can't book every center up $1,000. I mean, it's getting ridiculous to be able to play. And a lot of them are like, you know, center, power forward eligibles. So it's like, all right, well, I can stick in three underpriced centers and not have to worry about a power forward. And, you know, it's ridiculous.
Be careful how you use that term, stick in and then center, you know. This is a family basketball podcast, but yeah, you know, sometimes.
I wasn't even going that way, so I'm glad you thought of it.
I'm just saying, be careful. Be careful. Even with that, I kind of even have some interest in Ed Davis here, too. I mean, obviously, this game could get out of hand. Davis, very cheap on both sites, 37 on DK, 39 on FanDuel. Don't mind that. And then, of course, you got that whole quartet of bench players from the Blazers, Evan Turner, Mo Harkless, Noah Vonleh, even that nice Irish boy, Pat Connaughton. You know, all these guys could be viable here against the Nets. For the Nets that we speak of, D'Angelo Russell with a 32.1% usage rate this season. Portland has been the most vulnerable against opposing point guards. D'Angelo's price, too, has actually come down a lot on FanDuel, $7,300. Very appealing for that man tonight. And again, you know, Lillard, McCollum, their name holds a lot of weight, but they, especially on defense last season, they were both at the bottom of those defensive real plus minus rankings.
Wow. Yes. For some reason, Portland's a really good team right now. Not really good team. Really good defensive team. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why. And I'm not sure if it's going to hold up.
Okay.
I want to attack because of Vegas, but I also think there's a really good, like, you have to build some lineups without Brooklyn Nets in case this continues to hold up. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Oh, you can't play Brooklyn Nets? Oh, damn, what a shame. My fandom gets checked at the door, man. Anywho, there is an interesting narrative in this game. Alan Crabb returning back to Portland, 4,200 on DK, 4,400 there. Don't mind that. And then Damari Carroll, another guy that's been priced down a lot here too, 5,300 on FanDuel, especially if Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is out tonight. I don't think that's an opportunity you could pass up.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, we don't need to celebrate it. Just nod the head. All right, I've got nothing else from this game. You?
Nope.
I believe we got this podcast done in under an hour. Very, very excited.
Yes.
Okay, folks. Once again, go check out that sim model for all our DFS Army members. And, of course, if you're not a member, go to dfsarmy.com. Promo code podcast gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. You do get access to that VIP sim model. You get access to the Domination Station, which can build you all your NFL lineups this weekend. Very excited for that one. And then, of course, the Slack channel that's open 24/7. All your questions. Somebody's usually up to answer something, so during the day, this thing's piping hot. Once again, Friday viewership, always up on the podcast. We thank everybody for listening on payday. And, of course, thanks for being a member to the Army for all of our members that we got as well. Me, Keith, rest of the Army, we gone. Have a good weekend.
Peace out.